Today's podcast is sponsored and brought to you by Spades Sunshades, a poker lifestyle brand that sells quality and affordable sunglasses. Jeff Weber and his team make an amazing product and they want you to get in on the game. Glasses start at only $15 and $25 for polarized. These amazing Spades Sunshades are made by and for poker players. There is nothing else like this on the market. Use promo code BrettsOpenMic to get some free shipping on me. Head over to SpadesSunshades.com and get your pair today.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
I forgot to turn my mic on. What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 69 of the Open Mic Podcast. It's good to be here with you. Greetings from the Bay Area. Beautiful day today, and we have a special episode. I wasn't planning on putting one out today, but I got motivated, had some time to edit my last interview with Deanna Aspira. She's fantastic. She's a fashion blogger. She's an Instagram influencer. She's a podcaster. She sings. She just does a lot of things. And she joined in on the chat conversation all the way from Switzerland on Friday. And it was a lot of fun. And thank you to her for being a part of the show while she's on vacation. So it's a fun episode. We laughed. We had some good conversation. And I apologize a little bit in advance. When you're doing these interviews, sometimes people are far away and you're doing it through a phone system. And in this episode, the audio is a little bit wonky. And I just want to let you know in advance, I apologize for that. I did everything I could to get it edited, but the interview sounds fantastic. Otherwise, it was a lot of fun. We had a really, really good time. And she was super gracious and thankful to just be with me. It was cool. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Spade Sunshades. They make amazing sunglasses. They are sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you head over to their website or their Instagram and use promo code BrettsOpenMic, you can get some free shipping on me for your fantastic sunglasses. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial spot and give you guys some information about the show. And then we will be right back with our wonderful interview with Deanna Aspira. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of today's podcast. Be sure to follow us over on social media, Instagram at Open Mic Podcast, Twitter at Brett's Open Mic, and of course, Facebook, Brett Allen. Until next time, cheers and be well. Well, my guest today, I am very excited about. She is spectacular and very on brand, as they say. She is the host of You Can't Sit Here and the Fashionably Latte podcast. She also appears on the show The Hollywire. That's not enough. She sings and was on The Voice International, and she's huge. And I'm very excited to be chatting with her today. Please welcome to the podcast, Deanna Aspira.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Shameless plug. My podcast is You Can't Sit With Me.
Oh, You Can't Sit With Me. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
I had my notes wrong. I apologize. It's a great show. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, you definitely should. So now you're traveling again right now, is that correct? Where are you currently at?
Yes. So I'm currently in the south of France because my family lives in Switzerland, which is like a bit of a drive away. And we have a friend who is getting married here. So I was visiting my family and they told me you should come with us. So this is a bit of a family holiday, which I haven't had in a while.
Nice. Now, I was in the military and had a chance to visit over there, and it's absolutely beautiful over there. So
it is so gorgeous.
Yeah. So what is the weather like over there right now?
Oh my gosh, it's boiling. Not the same kind of boiling as Los Angeles where I currently live. It's more, I would say it's more humid. You sweat a lot more. and you know, the sea is like turquoise blue. It's very nice and pleasant, but very, very hot.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's even hot right now in the California area. I'm in the Bay Area, so been experiencing a lot of heat, but it's actually starting to cool off a little bit, which is nice. So,
oh my God, do you remember that heat wave? I don't think I've ever, did it happen to you guys in the Bay Area as well?
It was horrible, absolutely horrible.
You know, when you have that time where like it's so cold that you can't go out, I've never experienced what it was like to be so hot that you couldn't go out, but it was literally like my skin was burning every time I was going out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I was talking to some friends over on the LA side and they were saying the exact same thing. It's insane because it didn't matter how much air conditioning you had or whatever you did to try and stay cold.
And guess what? That day I decided to do a photo shoot with a friend. Not that I do photo shoots by any means, but, you know, product shots for like Instagram stuff. Typical. But yeah, so it was a sweaty, sweaty day, let me tell you.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, especially if you're trying to do that sort of thing, you know, where you're, you know, brand influencing and you're taking photos. You had to have been burning up, and you're supposed to look comfortable and like you're enjoying yourself. And meanwhile,
oh my gosh, yeah, you're supposed to look like you're living your best life, and your best life is not in the heat wave.
No, and then you were in Las Vegas for a little while. I can imagine it was probably super hot over there as well.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I was so drunk when I made that decision that I didn't even remember. I mean, not that I drink that much. I'm just very small, so it doesn't take a lot. And but I don't know. I was at brunch one day in LA, and you know, I was invited by friends, and they were like, "Let's go to Vegas." And I hate flying. I'm afraid of flying, which is funny because I travel a lot. And I was like, "Oh, you know what? That's great. Let's just go to Vegas." Booked it. Went there. I don't know why, but it was fun. It was a good trip.
Well, as long as you had fun, that's all that matters. But everything you do, you make it look fun. So those of us on the other side are like, I would want to do that. I think I even made a comment. I've never even been to Las Vegas, but everybody tells me that I have to go. So I definitely am going to make it a point to make it over there sometime.
Oh, yes, you must go. But it's funny that you say I make my life look really fun. I think maybe the way that I speak to my audience and like use colors and GIFs in my Insta stories, maybe it makes it look fun, more fun. But, you know, daily meltdowns, that's what I'm going to tell you.
I have those too. I have a 4-year-old, so I know what that's like.
I have a 4-year-old niece. I completely understand what you're going
through. Yeah, it's like, and I just turned 44, so I got a late start in life as far as having kids. And I will tell you, it's been a great experience, but man, the meltdowns, it's just crazy what that can do to you as an adult. You're just like, because eventually you find yourself almost wanting to get on their level. That doesn't work either. You look like you have everything together, which is great. And so
I promise you, it's all an appearance. It's all, nobody I feel truly has everything together. I definitely do not. But I'm glad it looks fun on the other side.
Yeah, it does. It does. So now you and I have something in common. I understand that
we have a podcast.
We do. Yes, we have that. But I understand that you're a huge Disney fan too. Is that right?
Oh, well, I'm a fan of many, many things. But yes, Disney is one of them. I love going to Disneyland. My first time at Disneyland, I was 28. Did I just tell people how old I was?
You did.
You know, as a girl, I have
to
be
careful. We can edit that out.
Careful
with
how old I say I am, because everyone likes younger people in LA. It makes me feel horrible. Whatever. Can I swear? Tough shit.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Sorry. I always just use. I have a horrible mouth. But Disney, huge fan. Best times there. Love it.
That's awesome. So.
And I love Disney. Cartoons and movies.
Absolutely. So I'm a big fan also. Now, where are you from originally?
Ooh, that's a tough one. So here's the thing. I'm, you know, English. I was born English because my dad is English. I grew up in Switzerland. I became Swiss when I was about 21. So that makes me half English, half Swiss. But I speak English and French 50-50 because I grew up in Switzerland and went to school there and you know, learned, I studied in English and French.
Very cool. So I spent some time in France as well. Unfortunately, I didn't learn the language. I really wish I did. I was in Germany too for a very long time.
Oh my gosh, Germany's so fun.
It is, yeah. And I was over at the military base over there at Ramstein is where I was at. And I learned a little bit of German while I was there, but I have since forgotten it all. I don't remember any of it, sadly.
I can't believe you think my life is like cool when you've like been in the army and all that stuff, like so badass. I wish I had that to add to my resume.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. I was in the Air Force for 8 years and I got to travel all over. So I wouldn't have done it otherwise if it wasn't for the military. So I'm glad that I was able to do it and have some of those experiences to go over to England and to Paris and to Switzerland. And
that is crazy. Do you know that my biggest fear is flying?
I think funny you enough. Mentioned that. Yeah, you know, I don't mind flying, but now I just fly for work, for what I do for my regular day job. But I do miss, you know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago and I was like, I really miss those international flights. Those were a lot of fun. And I just remember going overseas for the first time because I was born and raised in Kansas, of all places.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so for the first time, I'm going to Germany in my entire life. I've had traveled other places in the States with my dad, but I'd never been out of my backyard as far as a country. And so going to Germany for the first time was just unbelievable. And I have so many memories of it. It was a lot of fun. And of course, we didn't have camera phones back then and video was
oh my
hard
gosh,
to
the signal's going funny again. Oh, I think. Oh, good. No, I only missed the like last 2 seconds of what you said.
No worries. No worries. Yeah. So I was just saying how I miss traveling and it was a lot of fun.
Can I put like the journalist on you, even though like I'm supposedly the one being interviewed?
Sure.
Anyway, yeah. As a, you know, I want to play journalist on you. As someone who worked in, like the Air Force, what do you have to say to people like me who are deathly afraid of flying? I still like traveling, but flying is a real struggle to me.
You know, especially for what you do, I think, I don't know, maybe some Dramamine, maybe a couple drinks might help you out. I don't know.
Well, but that's not help. That's just like the average flight for me at this point.
I love it. So how did all of this start for you, building this presence and music and just the entertainment industry as a whole? How did you start out doing that?
Honestly, it's so funny. I don't even know. I mean, I know, but it's you from the outside perspective probably thinks all this like, yay, amazing. And for me, it's just a mess of like so many different careers, which kind of makes sense, but don't really. I was always like a performer. So I went to like performing arts school. I also went to university. So I've done all of that stuff. And I end up, you know, touring and performing and getting a record deal, singing, going on The Voice France, which I don't really like to talk about because singing wasn't necessarily my forte. Like I was more of a songwriter, but I did sing a little bit. And I was very sick that day. So it definitely wasn't like one of my worst performances of all time. But from that, I moved to America to pursue like music, songwriting. And I've always had a passion for like writing and creating content. I wasn't a super fan of like the pop industry. If you look at the charts nowadays, the pop charts really upset me because there is not one song that I would like be able to sing along to. So like in my opinion, like music is like slowly deteriorating, especially like the pop charts. No offense to all the artists in the pop charts, but it's sad, you know. I miss those big like pop songs that you could just sing along to, whatever. So I could see that happening. Like it was all becoming a little too much. And who has the sickest beats and who blah blah blah, and it was a bit annoying to me. So another outlet for me to use was like writing and hosting and content creation and all that stuff. And I ended up being thrown into the world of hosting during my first red carpet. It was like the Teen Choice Awards a couple of years ago. I was nervous, but for some reason that day, something happened. I was just interviewing all these people that, you know, like all kind of big celebrities, and I just didn't care. I was just so happy to talk to these people and ask them questions. And, you know, I've traveled a lot. I've lived in so many different cities. I just had so much to ask. And I left that place, the Teen Choice Awards, thinking, oh my gosh, like I felt right at home. And it just felt like a very natural thing for me to do. And then from then on, I just pursued that career and ended up writing and interviewing for a couple of different outlets. And this led to me starting my own podcast because, you know, I'm just, it's never enough.
You know, I honestly understand that because I sort of experienced a similar path. I tried a lot of different things. I tried YouTube. I tried stand-up comedy. I just tried a lot of things, and I really wasn't, I enjoyed them, but I wasn't really good at them. At least that was my experience. And so the podcasting to me was just a natural thing. And so as soon as I found out about it and the same thing happened, I started interviewing friends, and then it just has built and built and built to a bigger presence as far as who I talk to and some very notable people. And I go every time even with you and talking to people, I go, I can't believe I'm having conversations with these people because these aren't people I would normally talk to in everyday life.
But it just feels natural. Like
it really does. Yeah, it really, really does. And I always get a little nervous, and you know, I'm always trying to work on my craft as a journalist and as someone who interviews and just trying to really be prepared.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. You've talked to a lot of great people.
Yes. And also to add to what we just said, sorry to cut you off.
You're okay.
I felt like the music industry was very competitive. And even though my industry is competitive too, my job essentially consists of making other people look good or have fun or, you know, show their best or their worst side sometimes. And essentially you're here to support someone else. And I like this like collaborative aspect of my career now, which is I don't have to be better. Well, I mean, you have to be good, but it's not like music where you have to be the best and you have to be better than someone to succeed. My career involves me supporting talent and encouraging them, which I way prefer.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate that. And the fact that you and I were able to connect and you were like, yes, I would love to collaborate. That's huge for someone who is starting out and is building that traction and the momentum to create something, because I feel like podcasting, and I totally understand where you're coming from, it becomes this outlet where you can be creative and do your thing and you get to talk to some amazing people.
Yeah.
Do you have any standout interviews that you've done, whether it be on the carpet or on the podcast, anything like that?
Ooh, oh my gosh, that's such a rough question. That's one question I'm never prepared for. And whenever I have a great interview, I'm like, oh, this is definitely going on my list of best interviews. And then I just forget about them. No offense to the artists I interview, but just, I don't know how to explain. I'm just so in the moment when I interview and then I leave and I forget everything. let me think. Who did I interview that was great? Oh, okay. So I interviewed what's his full name? Nikolai from Game of Thrones. That for me was like a huge one. The guy who plays is it Jaime Lannister? I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Love him, by the way. Obsessed with him. And he was so cool, and he was not at all what I expected. So I was very like taken aback because I had all these expectations about him and what he was going to be like. And once I started interviewing him, I was like, oops, not that. And then you kind of have to, you know, redirect your interview depending on how the person's going to react. So that was really interesting for me. He was really laid back, kind of shy as well, which I thought, you know, he's probably like some huge playboy who's going to think my jokes are hilarious. And he was quite shy. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll tone it down. But he was lovely. And then who else did I interview? What's his name? Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Let me think of someone. Hold on. We might have to edit this. I'm so sorry.
Ugh. That's okay. It's totally fine.
I hate it when people do that and then I have to edit for 3 hours. It really annoys me.
I had an interview yesterday that we got cut off and I had to call this person back, but it's okay. It's totally fine. That's honestly like the thrill of doing this podcast, is because it's just like working without a net. And so you just go in and you fix it, and then you listen to it, and you're like, that's amazing.
So, I wish I could just not edit my episodes, but then I just feel like they'd be so rough.
Yeah, there are some people that I've talked to that don't, who believe in not editing and just let it go, because they're like, well, what if you were recording live on radio? What would you do? And it's also, like,
Fashionably, you know, Latte is live, and we don't edit, but there's a format to it. So when you've got a format, if you just want the conversation to flow, the podcast might be a bit boring if you don't edit it. I feel like if you've got a format where you follow like a set format, it's easier to just not edit.
I like that. Yeah, I'm the same way. But then sometimes I go, I'm not going to edit this episode. But then I listen to it and I go, okay, I have to edit this. This is going to drive me insane, because
story of
person
my life.
Listening wouldn't understand what was going on. So
literally.
Yeah, I know. So let's talk about your...
Another fun interview that I have done, which might seem – so there's this girl called JoJo Siwa from Dance Moms, and now she's on Nickelodeon. And honestly, the professionalism of this little girl – she's not little anymore. She's like a teenager, but she is such a pro. And I have never seen her, you know, get affected by anything anyone says. She always has an answer. She always has a story. She's always super prepared, always down to do an interview. And like, I really cannot say the same for a lot of the celebrities out there who are super media trained, who are super experienced, but still can't give a good interview. So, you know, props to the people working hard and being super professional.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I have found when I have talked to a few people. You can certainly tell the ones who are trained, because they answer questions, they can pivot if you get to a question that they don't want to answer. Or I've had people say, I don't want to talk about this, so please don't mention it.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard that, I didn't really know what to think. I kind of felt a little bit, it was weird. I kind of felt like, you know, as a person who's doing this, you're sort of invading their life, and you are getting personal with them. And if they don't want to answer, then that's okay. You know, you just kind of deal with it and move on.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's bad when people say, you know, I don't really want to go there in an interview. It's how they say it. Because I remember having this encounter with a certain celebrity. I, by the way, these are not the most famous people I've interviewed, but I just, you know, they're very memorable interviews.
Sure.
But I had this interview with this girl, and she's a YouTuber. She has thousands of videos out there on the internet, and I was not about to watch 4,000 videos, especially not YouTube videos. Sorry. I'm sure your content is great. Don't have that kind of time. And I made a little mistake. One of the, you know, asked a question about a video that was a bit outdated, but it was like the main, it was one of the most viewed videos on her channel. And she so offended, instead of, you know, saying, I'm really sorry, don't feel comfortable answering this question, looked at her manager and like, I don't want to go there. Like, no, I'm not having this. And I was like, oh, you know, that's all right. Like, you can tell me, like, I'm not going to bite you. And then the week after, I interviewed a 15-year-old girl and asked her a question that she didn't feel comfortable answering. And she was like, I'm really sorry, I'd rather not. And that is the way to do it. That's what I wanted to say.
Sometimes I will get emails from publicists and they will say, please don't talk about this, don't talk about that. And
exactly.
So,
if you have a professional publicist, they will tell you if there is something that you need to stay away from. So,
and I like that, you know, because it helps me as the person interviewing, oh, go, okay, so maybe we'll take this in a different direction. And honestly, when I talk to certain people, I like to ask questions that they may not typically get asked in a regular interview. So I think that's fun, because I had a guest and we were talking and he said, oh, I've, you know, this is my 10,000th interview about this, and I'll perform for you. I'll put on a show and answer your questions. And I said, well, how about we do this? How about we not talk about any of that, and we'll just talk about something different? And he really, really appreciated the fact that I did that for him. I was able to talk about things in just a completely different light. And it was a great interview and probably one of the most memorable for me. And he's not somebody that's super famous, but he's a scientist and he's been known for certain things. And so his shtick is, oh, I'll talk about this and this. And then we wound up having a completely different interview. and it was a lot of fun. It turned out really well. What advice would you have for someone looking to build a brand like something that you have built?
So it depends, because that's kind of like it's a big question. Like building a brand, there are so many different ways of building a brand. You can build a brand as an influencer. You can build a brand as a journalist. You can build a brand as a podcaster. I'm doing many things. So it depends what kind of brand you are trying to build. Are you talking about in general as a person for
yourself?
Just
in general as a person, like I know you're doing a lot of different things and we joke, but you really do it well. So let's just say as an influencer, someone who wants to be an influencer, what advice would you give to that person who wants to get into that sort of thing?
Well, so I've come to realize in the world of influencers is that you don't need to be her butt on Instagram to be an influencer. And you do not need to be a supermodel posting photos of yourself on Instagram to be an influencer. Also, you don't need to have the most lavish lifestyle and the best bags and the best jewelry to be an influencer. That's kind of the tip that I have. You know, to build a brand for yourself, I think it's important to really find something that you enjoy doing and that you enjoy communicating to others. So if you enjoy, for example, finding out about celebrities, but you are not good at communicating that with an audience and informing people, then you cannot build a brand around this. You need to be able to say, okay, I have this hobby, I have this knowledge, I have this passion, but the people have to be able to take away something from your content. So that's kind of the advice that I have when it comes to becoming an influencer. If you just, you know, want to start a podcast to have conversation with your best friends, you know, unless you're like a reality star, then everyone just is so nosy about you can't just do that. That's not building a brand. So you need to, you know, find something that you really like. How can I communicate it with an audience? And what is the best way of having this audience find the content, enjoy it, because it has to be enjoyable. So for example, I love fashion and I love photography. And you know, every girl who likes fashion and photography is like, okay, I'm going to be on Instagram. I'm going to have a fashion blog. And I was like, you know what? Like what is it that can bring to the table that other people don't? Is that, you know, I have this very European style and, you know, look to myself, but I live in America and, you know, I'm this kind of new girl trying all of the, you know, Los Angeles trends and what celebrities are using and where they're going. And I'm kind of reviewing that for my, you know, rather European audience. And at the same time, I like living that lifestyle because it is the lifestyle of the people I interview. So I decided to bring that to the table with my witty sense of humor. And, you know, I'm very cynical. I have a very cynical approach. So I decided, you know, on my Instagram, I'm going to try all these things, but make fun of myself trying those things because those are the things I usually make fun of. So, you know, when you go, for example, onto my Instagram page, you will see a filtered photo that looks, you know, very influencer-y. But at the same time, I'm not like, so obsessed with my new toothbrush, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not what I'm about. I'm very unfiltered. So the captions will be very, very different from, you know, the typical influencer who loves everything. Here's my discount code. Love this, love that.
I love that's funny. I love that. It, you know, it's not like a bag spill every picture or something crazy, but you know, like we said at the beginning, and I appreciate your candor and your honesty. This has probably been like one of the funnest interviews I've ever done. So, yeah, of course. So I've noticed that there is a consistency with what you do and it's very on brand. You know, there's a theme that runs throughout your pictures, whether it's the filter or, you know, something that you're, I don't know the term modeling would be the word to use, but what you're showing folks, and it draws people in and go, hey, this is really cool. You know, I want to be a part of this and get to know that. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. Yeah, of course. So if you weren't doing all of this, you know, what would you be doing? Like, what would be your dream job if you didn't have all of this going on? Or maybe this is it.
This is it. I'd be broke now. I definitely have always loved journalism. I remember back in high school, you know, I was always into singing and dancing and performing, but I was also very like academic. I loved writing. I loved languages. I was always very, very like and loved writing. And so I know for a fact that I would still definitely been involved with journalism, like editorial. I would, you know, writing stories, you know, the thing that my kind of journalism, yes, it's very entertainment based and it can come across very like superficial. And I talk about the Kardashians a lot, but someone that I interviewed on my podcast, his name is Chris Guillebeau. He has a great podcast too. Described my style as unconventional Hollywood wisdom, because I do like a little bit of a deeper aspect to it and like some of my experience. And, I don't even remember what the question was, to be honest, because I'm just getting lost in my answer right now.
No, that's a great answer. So I think what you're doing is awesome. I love it. And honestly, for those of us on the outside looking in, it really is a lot of fun. And you talk about the Kardashians a lot, which I love. I don't even really know. You know, they're just like one of the most unique families that I have ever seen, heard. I think they far surpass, and you may disagree or may agree, anything that Paris Hilton or...
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Even
the president. They're probably more influential than...
Well, they clearly are.
Which is sad, to be honest. And like, I admit it, I might get a ton of hate for saying that, but it's sad.
Eh. Well, I agree with you. You're fine. You know... It's just like there's been a lot of people in our time. You know, I've seen a lot of quote unquote celebrities and people that have captured America. But Kardashians have far, far exceeded anybody's expectation. You know, they've been around for almost a decade and people are still talking about them.
It's a snowball effect. Like if you think about it, like I talk about the Kardashians a lot, but there is nothing about the Kardashians that I think, oh my gosh, I need to talk about this because they are so much more amazing than XYZ. The reason why I talk about the Kardashians is because everybody knows about them. So they're just like a standard plot for me to be able to like find a theme to talk about in my podcast. Because, you know, I'm pop culture. So everyone who's, you know, drawn to a pop culture podcast will obviously know about the Kardashians. So I use them as kind of, you know, I always have like a common theme when I do an episode. And so, you know, I just look latest in Kardashian news. Someone's pregnant. Great. Da-da-da's pregnant. And then I share my funniest pregnancy story, which obviously wouldn't be mine because I've never been pregnant, but you know what I mean. So anyone can relate. I mean, they're the least relatable family in the whole world. But whenever you talk about Kardashians, people can relate because they already know all about it. So it's a great way to catch people's attention.
Yeah.
I'm just using the Kardashian.
I agree because nobody will ever, at least that I know of, live that lifestyle. There's just no way. And it's maybe it's obtainable for some people, but for most people, it's not. But I agree with you.
Well, it's not even the fact that obtainable because I actually, you know a lot of people that have similar, probably bigger means than them. I've grown up around wealthy people back in the day and not wealthy, like every type of, you know, people. But I think it's more the fact that, you know, the way that they live is obviously very like bougie and they spend a lot of money. But it's not just that. It's, you know, all the surgeries, all the press that they call on themselves. It's not just the way that they choose to live. It's everything. It's all of their other choices as well. I don't think anyone would have that much courage.
No, not at all. And then you start getting into the whole Kanye thing and just it's crazy. And I watched one episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I think it just happened to be on one day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to keep watching this because it's like, I don't know if I should be watching this, but I'm going to watch it.
It's because it'll be in the press tomorrow, so I may as well just watch it so I know what's up.
Yeah. When you start getting into the whole Scott Disick and I don't know, I was watching one episode and I was like, I may as well just watch it this way because if I see it in the news, then it's going to be like, okay, all right, well, I already watched it, so I know what's going on.
No, exactly. But it's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. There's nothing about the Kardashian that made them be so much more special. I think it's all very, very intelligent PR and marketing and business skills and, you know, and having the means to do it too, and the right, you know, press scandal at the right time, and combination of all those things.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. So how can people listen to your podcast if they want to check it out, which I highly, highly recommend?
Thank you so much. So you can listen to the You Can't Sit With Me podcast. That one is on Apple Podcast. Anywhere where you would get your podcast, I guess. SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher. I don't know. I'm literally the worst person at plugging things. I also have another podcast called Fashionably Latte with my co-host, Fashion Lane. She's a hilarious blogger. You should have her on the show as well. She
Absolutely.
Loves to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll reach out.
She's very, very funny. And yeah, and then my Instagram, I guess, since we talked about it, which is A-E-S-P-I-R, Diana Espier, which, by the way, my name's Deanna, which everyone's confused about. But yeah, that was my plug.
Very cool. Well, Deanna, so much for being a part of the podcast today. I really appreciate it. It's been a great conversation. And
thank you for having me. Yeah. That was so much fun. You're a great interviewer.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. I'll make sure to put that on the podcast.
Yeah, don't edit this out. You are such a good interviewer.
I really appreciate it. And that really means a lot coming from you. It really, really does.
Thank you.
Of course. Well, we're going to take just a quick pause and give you some social information, how you can follow the podcast, and also how you can help support the show as well. Thanks again to Deanna Espier for being part of the show, and we will be right back after a quick spot. What's up, everybody? It's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for listening and being a part of the show. The fact that you listen, that you download, and that you subscribe every single day blows my mind. And from the very bottom of my heart, I want to extend a thank you. Now, Anchor.fm, the company that supports the podcast and that hosts it, has offered a brand new way for you to support my show, the Open Mic Podcast. You can now sponsor the program monthly. There are three ways that you can do this. There are three levels: 99 cents per month, $4.99 per month, and $9.99 per month. And the cool thing is you don't even have to have the Anchor app to do it. Wherever you listen to this show, there is a link that you can go to, and it will take you to the anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast homepage. From there, you can pick whatever level you want to support the show. It's that simple. And the cool thing is you can either do it once or you can do it reoccurring. It's totally up to you. The other thing about this that is super cool is that it's tax deductible as well. Doing a podcast can be expensive, and there are things that come up, like new equipment, new studio upgrades, new microphones, new music. All of that cost money. And I would absolutely love to partner with you on the podcast. Just head over to www.anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast. Click the link. It's that simple. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. Cheers and be well. Well, thank you so much for listening in and being a part of today's episode. Thank you to Deanna for joining us. I hope you all enjoyed that interview as much as I did. It was a lot of fun. She's the best. Be sure to follow her on social media and also to be a part of her podcast. You don't want to miss out. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them. Let them know that you care. And we'll talk to you soon. Be blessed.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.